From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series expounding Isaiah chapter 53, bringing the next portion of a message entitled The Covenant of Redemption. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Sensitive to Warning. The text is found in 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 19. Because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Many despise warning and perish. Happy is he who trembles at the word of God. Josiah did so, and he was spared the sight of the evil which the Lord determined to send upon Judah because of her great sins. Have you this tenderness? Do you practice this self-humiliation? Then you also shall be spared in the evil day. God sets a mark upon the men that sigh and cry because of the sin of the times. The destroying angel is commanded to keep his sword in its sheath till the elect of God are sheltered. These are best known by their godly fear and their trembling at the word of the Lord. Are the times threatening? Do popery and infidelity advance with great strides? And do you dread national chastisement upon this polluted nation? Well, you may. Yet rest in this promise. Thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. Better still, the Lord himself may come, and then the days of our mourning shall be ended.
Trust in God.
As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. As he continues his series of studies in Isaiah chapter 53, Dr. Cairns is expounding verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. This verse brings us to the agreement in eternity past between the first and second persons of the Holy Trinity. Here we see the purpose of God in the death of Christ, the redemption of a people who otherwise would spend eternity in the torments of hell. Pointing out the nature of Christ's death, Dr. Cairn shows that the offering he made was analogous to the trespass offering in the Old Testament. It provided expiation for sin and satisfied God's righteous wrath against sin. Now to continue this message entitled, The Covenant of Redemption, here is Dr. Cairns.
The covenant of grace that you and I enjoy, the promises of grace, the provisions of grace, the riches of grace, our experience of all God's grace depends upon this compact, this agreement, this covenant which the Father and the Son made in eternity. Before the world began, here it is set down in black and white, over 7 centuries before the actual death of Christ. Here is the covenant then that predates our need, that God made with the Son. And on the basis of this agreement between the Father and the Son, you and I are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now note the terms very carefully. If his soul will make a trespass offering, then he will see his seed prolong his days, and God's pleasure will prosper in his hand. I want you to notice that for the Lord Jesus Christ, the covenant is a covenant of works. Salvation must always be earned. I want you to know that. Every place in heaven is a merited place. It is a deserved place. It is an earned place. It is a thing that has been worked for and properly gained. Now, of course, you and I can't work for it. We can't gain it. We can't pay for it. But if it had to be worked for, and if it had to be gained in that way, then it had to be gained by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the promise here is conditional upon the working of the Lord Jesus Christ. The covenant for Christ is a covenant of works. What a difference between the first Adam and the last Adam. Between the first man, Adam, and the second man, Christ. What a difference. Adam was given a covenant of works in the Garden of Eden. He was put in a perfect environment. He was given a very, very simple test. And I need to emphasize this. The condition of the covenant of works for Adam was the simplest and the easiest that a God of love could ever make it. He gave him a perfect humanity, sinless. He gave him a sinless wife. He gave him a sinless environment. He bred within him, created within him, a natural inclination to do the will of God. And then he set before him the simplest and the easiest of conditions, and Adam failed it.
We fell and sinned in Adam. Now then, see the last Adam.
God puts him not in a perfect environment, but in a foul, filthy, polluted, depraved environment, in a world that's cursed and scarred with sin. He surrounds him with the failure and the filth and the wickedness of man. He lets all hell loose against him. The devil tempts him. The devil seeks to balk him and block him. And then he gives him the condition, not something easy, but the hardest thing that the God-man could ever accomplish. If your soul will make an offering for sin, if you will stand in under the curse and the wrath of a holy God and the terror of a broken law, if you will satisfy God, if you will abolish death, if you will destroy the devil and his power, then I'll give you the fruit of that death. That was the covenant of works for Jesus Christ. Bless God. He succeeded absolutely.
The covenant of works, or of redemption for Christ, was a covenant of works. And because of that, for you and for me, it's a covenant of free grace. Because he worked for my salvation, I need not work for acceptance with God.
Because he purchased my salvation, there is not a cent left for me to pay. The debt has been cancelled. The entire obligation that I had contracted has been wiped out. The handwriting of ordinances has been obliterated as they were against me. And today I can say the promises of God are free. They are gracious. They are received without merit on my part. Because Jesus did all the work. He did all the meriting. He made all the payments. The plan of God for my salvation depends, therefore, absolutely upon the obedience of Jesus Christ. Just sum that up. The purpose of God was not only a covenant purpose, therefore it was a purpose that was carried out. The Father did his part. This is not the language of Hollywood. This is not the language of the stage. This is the greatest reality in the history of humanity. God the Father bruised his Son. My little brain cannot enter into those words. I would to God that for a moment I had the wisdom and the tongue of an archangel to try and describe them. That brings us into the innermost recesses of Calvary. And in the darkness of Golgotha, God crushed his Son. Reminds me of a figure that is really used of the second coming of Christ, but I agree with the great Welsh preacher Christmas Evans when he said the words could never, such as their inherent force and dignity, we could never divorce them from the first coming and the death of Christ. He says, I have trodden the winepress. Who is this that comes from Bozra with his garments dyed red, having been in that winepress? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the grapes are put in the press and the juice extracted, so the Christ of God was put in the press of the wrath of a sin-hating God. And all the mighty pressure of the omnipotent hand of divine justice came upon him. He was crushed. And it was only because of the crushing of the Son by the Father that the red wine of God's salvation flows to guilty sinners such as you and I. Yes, God did his part. He crushed him. He put him to grief. Again, I stand aghast at those words. The word grief has the idea of disease. Surely he hath borne our griefs. He was a man acquainted with grief. The idea is our sickness, the disease of our sin. Now the Lord Jesus never personally was contaminated with our sin, but legally, covenantally, as our living head, he took this. And God, when it says, put him to grief, made him diseased. God brought him down to weakness. And he treated him as the most diseased sinner, though personally perfect. God the Father did his part.
God the Son did his part, for thank God his soul did make a trespass offering. This was not something imposed on Christ, but something willingly, even joyously, done as a voluntary offering. Here then is something of the purpose of God in the death of Christ. Now, take a little step further and see the nature of Christ's work in this purposed death. His soul made what? A trespass offering. That's a significant use of words. If you go back in the Old Testament, you'll find that there were various great offerings that all combined to show the final offering of Christ. Basically, there were five major offerings. There was the burnt offering, in which the whole thing was consumed. It's an oblation. God got it all. Then there was the meal offering, which shows the perfect humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect character of Christ. Then there was a peace offering, speaks of reconciliation, obviously. Then there was a sin offering, which speaks of expiation, the putting away of our guilt. And then there was a trespass offering. And scholars have really said that when you look at this, there's really no difference between the trespass offering and the peace offering, except in one or two unimportant details. But when you start looking at those details, you find they're not unimportant at all. Why did Isaiah 53 and 10 choose the word trespass offering and not sin offering? Why did it choose the word trespass offering and not burnt offering or peace offering? I have no doubt that God could have used any of those words and there would have been a great deal of truth in it. But he chose the word the trespass offering because that offering emphasized two things. One, like the sin offering, the expiation of our guilt. And secondly, like the burnt offering, it emphasized the satisfaction of God. It combined these two things. And the Lord Jesus Christ had this at the very heart of his work. This is the nature of his death. It is an offering by which he removed our guilt through the satisfaction of God in his law and justice through making a full payment. We ought never to lose sight of the fact that Jesus paid something at Calvary. I don't want to get into anything technical at this stage, but there is a whole argument on this matter of satisfaction. The great American theologian Charles Hodge argues against the strict idea of the satisfaction of Christ. He says it's too much like a pecuniary statement, a monetary statement. He says the death of Christ was not strictly, to use a Latin phrase, quid pro quo, which is what for that, quite literally, or this for that, so much for so much. But the more I look at Scripture, the more I realize that Charles Hodge was missing the point. When I look at Isaiah 53 and 10, I have no doubt that the Holy Ghost is saying this is a quid pro quo, so much for so much. Jesus Christ will make an offering for sin. He will make a trespass offering. There we are told what he will do. Then this is what he will obtain as the result. There is a satisfaction. There is a payment. There is the removal of a debt. The Lord Jesus knew exactly what he was giving. And he knew exactly what he was receiving. Now what he was giving was of infinite value. That still does not get away from the fact that he knew exactly what was expected and what he had to do. And he couldn't and didn't do a hair's breadth less. And he knew exactly what he was going to get by return. It was a trespass offering.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.